Australian Bible Church, a Presbyterian church focusing on Christ, Saviour, Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, Sanctifier, and the Word of God written, the Bible. Today, the theme, the key word, and the title are all one. There are only four letters in it. Lost. Lost. What are some of the components of being lost in this world? What are some of the things which are omitted from the minds, the mentality, the spirit, the life of the lost? What can you live which you have lost, which you don't have, which you can't catch, to which you may have a longing? What are the things that aren't there? Well, first of all, your bearings. If Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, our text, what is lostness? What is lost? First of all, your bearings. All the things that are actually available. You are no longer acquainted with the things which are available to a human being. It is an extraordinary thing, to be sure, to have the option to become a son of God and to have the necessity of doom if you don't find your place because you are lost. How often have you missed your place in the book and said, I've lost my place. There's a place where man fits and a place where he doesn't. And if he doesn't have his bearings clear because he has lost them, then that's part of what it means to be lost. He's lost a shepherd. He needs a shepherd. He's not guided by units and specks of radiating powers that have nothing to say. Life isn't a gobble up of a gamble. He is lost, he has no final dynamic director of events. Lord, there is no marshalling yard in his life. There are lots of trains, but there's no program, no place, no destination, no director, no one in charge, no organizer. It's a great old-fashioned railway junction with perhaps hundreds of lines. But he's lost. He doesn't know which is his. He's lost God. He's lost his goal. He no longer is aware of what you're seeking for. If someone says to him, well, what do you think life's all about? Oh, I don't know. There's a whole lot of things going there. I just do my best. I've always done my best. He has no goal. His best at what? Is his best like someone without a computer in a computer age? Well, he's lost his goal. What's available is no longer available to him because he's lost it. The goal is missing. The glamour is not, and the doom is present. God also is lost to him. The gracious, intimate, magnificent, splendid, humble, persevering, loving God is lost to him. Meaning is lost to him. What do you think meaning is all about? Oh, I don't know, pretty meaningless it seems to me. How sad. His life has lost meaning. You sometimes hear people say, oh, that's meaningless. A mere scatter of batter with no fish in it. He's lost meaning. He doesn't know what it's all about. He hopes amongst all the frizzling, dazzling events, there's a meaning, but he doesn't know what it is. It may change for him from day to day. Rationale. He's no longer able to realize what is the reason for everything, let alone for anything. The rationale is missing. He cannot reason it through. He lacks some of the elements. His place, like a place in a book, is lost. His place, like a place in an army, sergeant major, sergeant, corporal, good at something, but he's lost his place. He's lost his way. He sees signs there, but he can't translate them. He's lost his orientation. What's the difference between bearings and orientation? Your bearings show you what might be done. Your orientation shows you what you ought to be doing. The eternal life that might have been is lost. Their lives are merely temporary, like people given a temporary job. They're not in any of the systems. Just walk in, walk out. He's lost the necessary mercy. But before we go into that, let us look at some of the reasons why people are lost, even when there is one who has the answer, the testimony, the power, the privilege, the simplicity, the one-step salvation. Will is one reason. I will to do this, and I am going. Desire is another. Oh, I want that. Oh, that's the sort of thing for me. Desire without reason, desire without rationale, desire with personal importance, potency, power, and pollution all mixed in one cocktail. Entanglements. That's another of the reasons for rejection of the offers that are made with rationale and mercy and peace and understanding. Engagements of the heart. Oh, such and such a person. Oh, how delicious. Oh, how delightful. Oh, how attractive. I must know that person. I must live in the light of that person, whether it's an employer or a favorite athlete or whatever. Engagement of the heart. What does that figure as? It's like ringing up somebody. You've got the number. You've got the opportunity. Your heart is filled with joy. Your heart is engaged in some passionate or even sentimentally provocative and evocative thrust. But like the phone, you have the number. Been taught long enough in this country. And the phone number is right. But when you begin, you also end. The phone number is engaged. Why is it engaged? Because you are engaged in your heart and you refuse to have free commerce. You tell God what you will permit him to do. But you won't have him as Lord, not in your life, not in your life. Rocketing aspirations of the Spirit. Always remember the school teacher at some banquet saying, and then the whole universe will be ours. It'll be ours. I could hardly conceive of such a thing. Taking over the maker of a universe with the brilliance, the power, the deliciousness, the wonder. As if nobody made it, as if nobody owned it, as if nobody provided it, as if the millions of ways in which it relates to us, as by design, fulfilling all the requirements of a definition, as all that is irrelevant. Why? Because reality is relevant, and what is reality? Reality is that I don't know, and I don't want to know, and I'm not going to thank you for interfering. Thank you. Goodbye. Which, while it may be addressed to a preacher of the gospel, may also be addressed to God. As if a person's life was really a matter of having a huge xylophone, and you're all worked up. Oh, look at all the sounds I can have. This is wonderful. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, well, it's what I want, it's what I've got, so I'll use it. Got it. That's the exact sound which I wanted. But what makes you think that there's nothing to making that xylophone, making its notes, grading them, and making the thing they represent happen? Oh, no reason. I've just got used to doing what I want and I plan to continue. Very well. We also have a couple further considerations. I've read some books, I think at least one, where somebody's there in France. It's World War I. A soldier has been in a rear guard. The opposing side has got some scouts looking ahead. The things mix up. The last members of the rear guard and the forward members of the scouts, the territory is ambiguous. The poor soldier hopes that the next person won't hold a bayonet to thrust through him, but can't be really sure. He hopes that the next person will lead him to the first aid to deal with his wounds, but it might be that he will bayonet him himself. You don't know and you can't tell, and the whole scope of a new xylophone is present. What horror! Unknown, not to be known. What precautions? Unlimited. What use? None. Why? Because you're lost. Lost. Your place, your position. It's all mixed up. There are these different elements of lostness. At the metaphysical level, you're still preoccupied with last year's philosophical fashions, which are out of date. It's always out of date. The philosophical fashions, though there is Christian philosophy which deals with these things with a biblical basis, which it demonstrates. But what is the latest? Darwin's dizzily gone, ridiculous nonsense from the first. He guessed wrong. But he did admit one thing. There is no known gradation of types and kinds going upward. He said, I admit that that's missing. Yeah, well, that just happens to be absolute evidence confirmed genetically. But he at least admitted that, which many Darwinists don't. He's lost in last season's philosophical parade. And he's not up with the fact that the eternal truth, which is eternally available, which is readily available, look at Romans 1:17, that which is the case with God, is manifest, and man is trying to get a stranglehold on it, to remove it from his being. Romans 1:17 puts you in the picture. But man being lost doesn't know one from the other. He doesn't know which is the last seasons or the seasons before. Vague, irrational attempt at a rationale, it doesn't work. Because he has no criterion. He hasn't found the way. To put it in a word, he's lost. He's lost all sense of comfort, of power. He's afraid what he'll bump into next. And at times, he goes wild. Because he doesn't even like to admit that he is lost. And he's lost the necessary mercy. Much more important than vitamin B12 injections, which some have to have because of aggressive attacks on their immune system. This mercy is absolutely necessary as a constituent of the soul. But he's lost it because he refuses to take the capsules. And the capsule is Christ. He's lost. The mercy is necessary. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 is quite interesting in this connection. It speaks of the sort of jumble, tumble that people get into when they've lost their metaphysical meaning, their reason for existence, their ground for guidance. So if you look at Colossians 2, beware lest anyone, 2:8, cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. That's what it is. It's empty of God and filled with nothing. Empty deceit. That sums it up. According to the tradition of men. Idols, yes. Mental idols, yes. Academic idols, yes. Imaginary idols in which if only you have enough drink and sexual infidelity and enough adultery, you're going to be happy. The tradition of men. According to the basic principles of the world. The world does have basic principles. Not God is written all over its windows of advertisement. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Without him you are incomplete. In a word, lost. And mercy is one of the things that is lost. Look at Psalm 139:12. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to put your mind. There's nowhere to find your rationale because you reject it. You want to get away from all of that. And you would like to hide in the darkness, but the darkness will not hide from the Lord. The mind has nowhere to hide. There's no darkness with which you can bamboozle God. You remain lost. A positive score is missing. A rationale that things began because there was a beginner who was always there, and that's why you don't have to begin with nothing. All that is lost. Found? Christ came. Christ put on a scientifically accessible demonstration involving thousands, it seems. He did it in the multiple medley of diseases. He did it in the sustaining power to heal them. He did it with a sympathy which was to be found in many of his relationships. He did it in the personal manner in which he performed it. Even when he was tired or troubled by such things as the loss of John the Baptist, who after all said, "There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Even then, he turned to help people because they insisted. He wasn't lost. They were lost. And in him many were found. Another thing that's lost is a very remarkable thing. It's everlasting joy. Have a look at Isaiah 11:11. It speaks of people coming back in the millennium to Christ, with Christ ruling in the world, and it speaks of people, Isaiah 11:11. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the seas. The Lord will come a second time. Will bring them back a second time, not just from Egypt. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And verse 9, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in verse 10, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Jesse was David's father, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. These are some of the criteria. Of what's lost. Rejoice. Again I say rejoice, says Paul. This rejoicing is not a temporary flush of emotional joy. It is not a delicious reflection upon the latest money or importance that has been gained. It is like a spring, exactly as Christ says. It doesn't ooze up, it springs up. And in its springing, it is very lively. It is an entity in itself, like the peace which passes all understanding, which also is lost for such as these. Philippians 4:7. This bubbling joy, this super emotional, this supernaturally sent joy is not humanly generated. It is supernaturally sent and humanly experienced. It causes a certain vigor, a certain certainty, a certain hope. It moves like an army, gushes like a fountain, is splendid like a sunset, but it's supernaturally sent. And it moves to tend the sheep, to give them splendor of heart and beauty of understanding. So these are some of the things which are lost. That's what has been lost. That's why they've been called the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But Paradise Regained, Milton's second book of great fame. It's regained because it was founded and fiercely paid for as a return to man. My God! Why is that? Me? As the physical, the spiritual, and the mental were all compounded. Lost. When all that is required, God so loved the world that whoever believes in, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Who has lost this opportunity? Who has squandered this grace? Who has despised this dignity? Who has omitted what could have been? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, what could have been? How often would I have gathered? Waving the winds, the wings in the dust. Come on, come on. But you were not willing. Now your house shall be left to you desolate. Why? Of course, it's a case of lost opportunity. Despising wonder. Ignoring grace. Lost. Never figure, feature, desire, or have to do with the lost and all its ingredients. Such an opportunity, if lost, is for the lost. And if lust replaces what is found and founded and featured and focused and available, so be it. There's one more consignee to what is lost, which the Son of God went so far as to come and conquer the very feature. Step out. Step in. Whosoever believeth. Those who receive him come. And this is another thing that's lost. You don't have any family. Except what is also lost is the frequent result. The lust, what you should do with lustness is say to it, get lost because I am found. Amen. Father, we thank thee for the space and spate of the grace whereby we may step into the kingdom of heaven simply by receiving the one sent. O Lord, hear our prayer for those who being deceived will not receive, that there might be many more found before they're found lost. Amen.